a bucket of hope. We're going to illustrate giving here today. You say, I ain't giving. That's fine. Keep your stinking money. High King of Heaven, my treasure, thou art. Let me tell you, friend, this church doesn't have a giving problem. No church has a giving problem. They have a High King of Heaven problem. When Jesus is the High King, he's your treasure. Amen. And you begin to give. Now, there are 8 callings of God, and we're looking at them together, and we come today to the one of brotherly kindness. Let's look at them just very quickly. Sharon will put them up on the board. We started with faith. We add to our faith moral excellence. To our moral excellence, we add knowledge. To our knowledge, we add self-control. To our self-control, we add perseverance. To our perseverance, we add godliness. To our godliness, we add Philadelphios, brotherly kindness. The calling of sharing. And to our brotherly kindness, next week we will add love, spiritual maturation. Look at that word, brotherly kindness, and it is the word Philadelphia in our English that comes from the Greek word that is a transliteration of it. It just comes right over for the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Philos on the front, love, brotherly love. Adolphos on the backside, brother, the brotherly love. You love your brother. Saw a big sign yesterday on television up in Lexington, Kentucky, where the Wildcats were getting ready to play. They're all-American freshman everything. His name is Cousins. He's from Mobile. And they were holding up signs that says, we love our cousins. In Kentucky and other places, sometimes that's the truth. We're to love our brothers in a godly kind of way. We're going to demonstrate that with these buckets. And then we're going to preach about it right out of the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And so I want you to turn there to 1 Timothy 6 while I challenge you about this bucket. This is just one way. You've already given your tithe this morning. At least 25% of you did. It's what an average of Southern Baptists do. So we got room for revival with giving. One other tangible way, somebody came up with a plan called Buckets of Hope. You take a bucket like this 5-gallon bucket, and you put rice and beans and oil and some flour, everything that you'd need, and it weighs about 25 pounds when you get done with it. You put a lid on it, and then we're going to ship it to Haiti to help people. It's everything a Haitian family would need, and it'll feed them for days what you'll put in this bucket. It was a great plan, a wonderful vision, with absolutely no administrative how to do it put to it. Everybody got excited about buckets. Well, you just try to go find one of these buckets. They just get snapped up like that. But our minister of missions called the bucket making company and ordered 1,000 of them, and they shipped them. We got 1,000 of these buckets. Other people trying to find buckets. No Scooter already had the bucket. He started calling everybody. He's administrative out the wazoo. I mean, just everywhere. He's going to have to know how to do it. And so there's a table out there today. It takes $30 to pack one of these buckets and $10 to send it. So that's a $40 bucket. Now, we got 1,000 of them. You can do the math. You're a brilliant group. That's $40,000. All right? We're going to put that right here. There's a bucket out there. You can see what's going in it, how it's going to be packed. Now, here's what you can do. You can do like the pastor. I went and found $40 this morning. I filled out an envelope. There's some pink envelopes out there. It's got Haiti stamped on it. And you put it in there. Somebody said, well, I already gave to Haiti. We already sent that money away. Sent that money to Haiti. It's a different project trying to feed Haiti. I mean, they're starving to death. We got three people tonight we're going to pray over that we're sending to Haiti, and they're going to be our missionaries. They're going. One of them wanted a tent. We said, well, you're going to have to live in a tent. They said, no, we're not living in a tent. We're taking a tent so the pastor and his family will have a place to live. We know very little about what they're walking through. You say, well, preacher, it's going to be hard for me to do $40, but I could do $20. Oh, man, I'm so glad you said that. What I'd like you to do is just find you a neighbor today, all right? Charlie, you look over at Ed, and you look at Charlie, and you say, well, you know, I could do $40. Well, no, you know, I already did some. So I tell you what, let's do $20 apiece and go together and buy a bucket. You say, well, why are you doing it? Keep everybody in here accountable. See, Leo, he'd do 20. I'd do 20. We'd get together. I've already done my 40, but, you know, he might turn around and get a 40 over here with Dr. Jernigan. That'd be good. Find that and get 40. Somebody said, I ain't helping you. I'll give my own for good. Go find you somebody else. Just aggravate everybody you can. And what we need to do. Now, if you want credit for your giving, you fill out one of those pink envelopes. But if you don't want it, just come bring you two 20s and drop it in this bucket on the way out today, or go by the table out there. And you say, well, preacher, I don't have any cash. Good. They'll take a check. They got a credit card deal out there. If you want to stick it through there, that'd be good. Just any way you want to do it, up to $40, we're going to send a bucket down to Haiti. It'll show you everything. It's just a tangible way of brotherly kindness. Boy, we got a lot of hurting people down there. We got 800 churches. They're hurting down in the Haitian nation. So we need to help them. And we're going to do that. We're going to do our part, and we're going to send a 1,000. If you're watching today by internet, television, listen by radio, you can do that. You can go online through PayPal. You can give. You can send it in. Do this. You're dropped by the office this week. Call us. We'll help you to be a part of that. I am unashamedly asking you today to give. Put it in the offering plate for your tithe and offering. That's where you ought to start. Put it in this bucket or one out there at the table so we can help the Haitians. But this morning, I want us to think about brotherly kindness and giving. So let's take the Bible and go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The word Philadelphia, how did that city get to be known as the city of brotherly love? William Penn, Pennsylvania, William Penn. Governor William Penn was starting a city. And as the city was being formed, it was in that city where William Penn reached out to Indians that had little and helped them. And found out in turn they could help him. And it became the city, Philadelphia, of brotherly kindness when William Penn birthed Philadelphia. Now we got the Philadelphia Phillies and the Philadelphia Flyers, and we know Philly, and we talk about a Philly cheesesteak sandwich, but we know very little about brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. Paul writes about it to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verses 17, 18, and 19, where he says, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them, Timothy, to do good, to be rich. Look at verse 18. To be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. There's the calling of sharing. Ready to share. Storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. You're never more like Jesus than when you're what? Giving. You give your time, you give your counsel, you give your effort, you give your monetary resources. You can give many, many things. You can give somebody a ride. You can give somebody advice. You can give them counsel. You can give them encouragement. You see, brotherly kindness takes many, many, many forms. But we are to be giving to our brothers that they need out of our own compassion. But one of the ways is that of monetary resource. And that's what I want to hone in on this morning as we think about giving, sharing our finances. I've written down for you three things so I can preach quickly and get down to what I want to share at the end today. Number one, you don't even have to fill in. God owns everything. You are simply his money manager. God owns it all. So, oh, preacher, I own some stuff. Sorry to tell you, you don't. You really don't. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. The Bible says in Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and all that it contains, everything that dwells within it. The book of Haggai, chapter 2 and verse number 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord. It really does not belong to all those people trying to sell you gold on television. Gold. Never been worth less than zero. Buy gold. Buy baloney if you want to, too. All the silver and the gold is God's. Deuteronomy 8:18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth. You don't have power on your own to make money. God gives you power to do that. He owns everything. He owns everything. Years ago in South Georgia, there was a young preacher. They called him to pastor in a little mill town. And he preached on this topic one Sunday, that God owns everything. And he looked out and he knew that in his church there was the mill owner, who was a very wealthy man. And he didn't call him by name, but he might as well have. He looked right at him and pointed his finger at him and said, I want you to know God owns everything, and what you think you own, you really don't. And this young preacher, just being brash, as some young preachers will do, and a few older ones, just kind of got in the whiskers of this guy. And after the service, the businessman came down and said, preacher, I want to see you at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And he said, okay. He was the largest giver in the church. Matter of fact, he owned most of the town. He showed up in his car and he told the preacher to get in it. He said, get in my car. I want you to know it's paid for. I don't owe anybody anything on it. It's mine. Then he drove him down to his fine palatial house, and he drove by and he said, pastor, I want you to look at that. And I said, that's my house. I have the deed. I brought it with me. Here's the deed to this house, and I own it outright. It's mine. He then drove him down by the mill and showed him the mill where they, many people worked. And he said, that mill's all paid for. He said, the people that live in this town and work for wages, they work for me, and everything here's paid for. Cash money, it's mine. Took him out in the country to a huge farm. And so I want you to look at those acres. They're mine. Paid for. Cash bought. I've got the deed. He said, now, preacher, you say God owns it all. I'm here to tell you, I own these things. Well, the pastor was a little embarrassed and taken back. And then he asked the gentleman, he said, could I have another appointment with you? And he said, sure, meet you here same time. Next Sunday, 2 o'clock, we'll do it all over again. He said, no, sir, I really don't want to meet you next week at 2 o'clock, but I'd like you to meet me here 100 years from next Sunday at 2 o'clock. And let's see who owns your house and who owns the mill and who owns the farm. And you will quickly understand it is not yours. That little whippersnapper of a preacher made a pretty stout point. The old man had to sit back and say, you know, I may be a manager for a short period, but we really don't own it. For God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And you'll never get your giving right until you understand who owns everything that you manage. Number one, God owns everything. Number two, the tithe is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. In Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, it's the chief tithing passage. In Malachi 3, verse 8, the Bible says this. He asks a question. Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me. the whole nation of you, speaking to Israel. And then he says to them, bring the whole tithe, the whole tenth, into the storehouse, which is the church, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this. Test me in this, says the Lord, if I'll not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing until it overflows. Now, church, hear me today. If you make $100, you ought to give God 10 of it. Make $1,000, you ought to give him 100. And if you'll begin, let me tell you, it is never too early to begin to tithe your income. Matter of fact, we use these offering envelopes. I put mine to plate down here with Brother Keith a while ago. If you've got children, you ought to, from the time they toddle into the preschool building, you ought to give them an envelope. And you ought to put something in it. And you ought to let them learn to give it. Because when they learn down there and then they move up into the children's area and high school, you ought to always make sure they've got something to give when they come to church. Something to give. Put it in their hands, a good teaching tool. And before you know it, you'll be dead and gone, and they'll be sitting in the adult seat where you are, and they will know that was important, and they will have learned it from you as you give it to them year after year, generation after generation, and we will move that through until the church understands. What we have now is a generation that is growing up that is saying to us, I don't want to support the local church. I want to give to need. I don't want to give to an institution. I want you to understand something. The Church of the Living God is not an institution. The Church of the Living God is the body of Jesus. And we are to support that body and keep it alive and well. You say, well, I don't believe I can support my church. And you ought to get out of it and find you one you can. Your life's too short. You should be in your fellowship and a part of that and write a check that doesn't bounce and put it in the offering plate. Give a tithe. I don't care. Give it online. Have a direct deposit. I don't, you know, we're all in a new way of giving today. But there's still something, I tell you, I pay all my bills online just about now and use that. I like it that way and I can do that. And I argued with a credit card company last week. In my life, I've paid 50 cents on a credit card. One time I didn't pay on time and they charged me 50 cents years ago. I got a bill this week. They charged me $29, said I hadn't paid. Well, I went back and I said, I did pay, and I paid on time. Well, I had to call them up and have a little discussion. And they credited my account. We got all that. Well, I like the electronic debt, but there's something about church. For me now, if you want to give electronic, that's all right. I don't have any problem. Matter of fact, we're having a larger percentage of our budget come in electronically every year because the young generation is giving everything electronic. They don't carry much cash. But there's just something for me about bringing an envelope and participating and putting it in the bucket when I come. It's like I don't want somebody else singing my songs. I don't want somebody else praying my prayers. I don't want somebody else giving my money. And I just want to physically do that. Now, I'm just telling you that's the way I feel about it. It doesn't mean you have to do it that way. But there is something about being a participant and giving your offering unto the Lord. Bring your tithe into the storehouse. I have this question all the time. Well, Pastor, you know, my mom and daddy, they died and they left me money. Should I tithe that money? Said, you know, they already tithed on all of it once. Have you ever had it before? I'll tell you what. You don't have to tithe it if you give it all to somebody else. I mean, they've already been using it, so why should you use it? Just give it all away, then you don't have to tithe it. Oh, yeah, when that $500,000 life insurance policy comes in, you ought to start giving God his tenth. Amen. It'll make you a better steward of the 90% of that inheritance that you've been given. I didn't come to win no popularity contest today. I understand. This is a message that we don't preach a lot, and I'll get hate mail and cussed out this week. It'll be all right. I've been here 20 years. I'm nigh accustomed to it. The tithe is the Lord's. Thirdly, and this comes right out. I stole this third point. Just borrowed it from another preacher. God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. When God prospers you, it's not so that you can build larger barns and more barns and larger barns and more. It's so that you can be a greater steward to help others. When God prospers, it's not just to raise our standard of living, but our standard of giving. Now, three things, and this is really the sermon right here in a nutshell that I want you to see today. The three things. How do we come to this standard of giving? Well, you have to understand three things. Number one, understand our source. Look at it. It's right here in the text. This is the exposition of the 1 Timothy text today. Our source is the Father. Look in verse 17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but to fix their hope on what? God, who richly supplies with us with all things to enjoy. Our source is the Father. Fix your hope today. Fix your hope. Fix your hope not on Dow. God help us if you got your hope fixed on the Dow. Don't fix your hope on some policy. Fix your hope on the Father. He is the source. My Lord, this week, I got an envelope in the mail with $100 in it. It was from a lady that had passed through. She's passed through our Karis house. I know what she's been through. I know the godlessness she was in. I know her testimony. I know now the job she's got. And I know just nearly, I could guess within $500 what she makes a year. And she wrote me a note this week and thanked me for the Karis house. And she said, Pastor, I don't know why, but God told me to give you this money. Now, friend, I'm telling you, she ain't got nothing. But she knows who her source is. Amen. And I'd been praying about a certain thing to do, and I had the money to do it already, but what she dropped in that envelope was exactly what I was about to do. And she doesn't have a clue how she was. She told me in the letter, she said, I'm embarrassed to give you this. I don't know why, but she said, God didn't tell me to give it to church. He told me, I've already given my tithe. He told me to give this to the pastor. And she said, do with it whatever you want to. And I already had, to the penny of what she just knew who her source was. And God was testing her to see how faithful she would be. She's going to give the money. She just needed to know where to give it. Number one, our source is the Father. Number two, our spirit, verse 18, your spirit in giving is not to be grudging, but to be willing, generous, and ready. Look in verse 18. Instruct those to do good, to be rich in good works. Yeah, be willing and to be generous and to be ready. Be willing and generous and ready as you give. When you read the Word of God over in Luke's Gospel chapter 3, beginning in verse number 7, in Luke 3, in verse 7, Jesus is teaching, and he says to them that you should bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And then three groups came up to him. And those groups came to him and said, well, what about us? What should we do? And what should we do? And what should we do? And every time Jesus said, in keeping fruit for repentance, when the soldiers came to him and the tax collectors came to him, then the crowd came to him, those three kinds of people came, every one of them, he took the fruit of repentance and put a monetary marker to it. He said, if you're going to see the fruit of repentance that's true, it will always include your wallet. Every time. That's what he taught him in Luke 3. Beginning in verse 7. The soldier said, well, what do we do? And he shared with them how to do it monetarily. And the tax collector said, well, what do we do? How about us? And he told them. And then the crowd came and said, well, what about the rest of us? And he told them how to deal with that monetary in Luke 3, 7. You can read that later on. You see, our spirit is to be one of being willing to give and generous to give and ready to give. I learned something from the president of Southern Baptist Convention. I've learned many things from Dr. Hunt, but he came up very poor. And he scolds us, other preachers. He said, guys, I want to tell you, you may be the guy that's preaching in the meeting. He said, when you're in a meeting, a lot of people watching, he said, never let the offering plate pass you. You don't put something in it. Always be willing. Be ready. Be generous. As you know, people do watch. You say, well, it's none of their business. No, it's not any of their business, but it's a good testimony. We got these pelicans all over Pensacola. The Pensacola Pelicans, you know, baseball name. We got the pelicans, you know, they put the statues up everywhere. They're kind of funny looking. Painted up, you know, different ones. You know, the pelicans got that big beak. Do you know that there's a certain kind of white pelican that their mouth will hold 3 gallons of water? 3 gallons. And when they scoop that up, sometimes they've got more than they can eat. Then you understand that sometimes others, especially their young, eat out of the beak of the pelican. It is a generous animal, a generous bird, as they scoop that up. Now, most of the time, they just throw their head back and the water runs out the sides of that thing and they swallow it every bit down. But there are other times when they feed out of their own mouth. Oh, I thought, boy, that's the way a church ought to be, out of our own mouth, out of our, that is so close, we ought to be giving unto others. That ought to be our spirit that we give. And then number 3, not only we see our source and our spirit, but we see our storehouse, Look in verse number 19. Storing up for themselves the treasures of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Sounds like Matthew 6, verse 19. Just look at this verse. Did I give you this, Sharon? Matthew 6 and verse 19. Listen to these passages. You know them. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and thieves do not break in and steal. How do you invest in the kingdom, our storehouse? You invest by investing in those that are going there. Bruce Wilkerson has written a book, and the title of it, I wrote it down here, says, "You Were Born for This." If you've not read Bruce Wilkerson's book, "You Were Born for This," I challenge you to read it. You were born for this. The whole book is on how to be a miracle, a conduit of God's miracles. And in his book, he talks about physical miracles and emotional, and then he talks about financial miracles. And Bruce Wilkerson said that God gave him a word years ago, and it's called the God pocket. The God pocket. I got pockets today. I got pockets on my suit. I got one up here where I got a handkerchief. I got a pocket over here. Somebody handed me this morning a Johnny Unitas collection card. It is in mint condition. I don't know what it's worth. I'll find out this week down here at the card shop. May not want to sell it. May want to give it to somebody. I got a pocket over here. I got a back pocket with my handkerchief in it, and I got a pocket over here where my keys are in it. You know, and inside a suit pocket, you got another little pocket inside your pocket. You can hide stuff in there. It's a good place to put mints that you steal out of Leo's office. And over here, I keep my money clip in this pocket. I got it over here. And then I got a pocket up here in my suit. And I always keep my pen that my wife let me buy on a cruise one time that I paid too much for. And I put it in there. And then I got a pocket over here I like to keep a track in. And just got and Wilkerson said he's just got pockets everywhere. But he said, God spoke to him and said, you need to have a God pocket. And he's got a certain amount of money. And I was thinking this week about putting so much money in my God pocket. And the amount I was going to put in my God pocket was exactly what that girl from the Karras house sent me. And so what you do is I inside my deal here. I got my money clip and the money I keep, and I can spend that, and I got my credit cards, and then I got, always have to keep your insurance card there. You know, if something happens, you got to have that. You know, if you happen to be riding when John's driving, you never know when you're going to need that. And so, but over here in the back, there's a place where some money I could just slide down in. Now, your God pocket, here's what Wilkerson said. He says, your God pocket is not for you to use for anything other than what God tells you that you, and it's always to give away. So you put that money in your God pocket and you keep it there, and you just every day you're looking and you're thinking, and all of a sudden God will nudge your heart. He'll give you a little Holy Ghost bump, and he'll say, give that. And when the person, and oftentimes this amount of money will be larger than, I'm not talking about, you know, a 20% tip at the table. I mean, I'm talking about you go in, eat a hamburger, and leave a $50 bill. But when you give it to somebody, Wilkerson always says, they'll argue with you and say, no, listen, this is not for me. That there is a man who has entrusted money to me, and he just asked me to find people in need, and it's not my money. He gave me this money, and that I can then just give it to others that I sense I need to give it to. He has some of the most phenomenal stories in this book you've ever read in all your life. You're made for this. And it just teaches you about how to be a giver. A giver. Again, that God pocket, if you have a flat tire, that money is not to use for anything other than to give away. It's not an emergency fund. It's your God pocket. If you need an emergency fund, you got other pockets for that. But you just keep it so that you can give it. What kind of giver is it God likes? Cheerful. The word in the Greek New Testament literally is hilarious. He loves a laughing giver. A hilarious giver. You know, oftentimes the offering in the church is the most solemn time in church. When I read Corinthians, it sounds like we ought to be jumping over the pew to find the bucket. Hey, don't miss me. Oh, it's too late. It's okay. Next time. So I thought I'll try this God pocket deal. And I had my amount. And I was making a visit the other Monday night. And Liz went with me on this visit. And we was trying to share with this guy. And when I got to get ready to go, God said, that's the man right there. Put it on him. I said, Lord, you've been listening to this conversation? Are you sure? Oh, in my God pocket I go. And I just palm the money. I cannot report to you because of confidentiality what that gift does, but let me just suffice to say it was probably more for me than it was for them. God was just teaching me liberality. I mean, I hate that word liberal. But when you come to this book and giving, there's only one thing to be, and it's a liberal. I mean to be liberal in your giving and sharing. Lord, so many people give to me. I'm a wealthy man. Because of the gifts that people give to me. I mean, gift of love and time and finance and service. God's just been hammering on this pastor. I mean, me. Saying, you need to increase the size of your God pocket so you can bless other folk. Amen. If you hadn't read old Wilkerson's book, I dare you to read it. It'll scare you to death. Some of it I thought, he's lying about that. But I know him. He's an honorable man. You were made for that. You were made You was made to give. God made you like that. And you ought to bless others. That's why he said, but preacher, I don't have nothing. Well, that's all you have to give. But now when God blesses in your life, he prospers you not to raise your standard of living, but your standard of giving. All the giving doesn't come through here. The first tenth comes through here. It's where you start. That's God's storehouse. Sometimes it goes through a bucket. Sometimes hand to hand. But God's called us all to give. It is more blessed to give than it is to get. I have people all week long walking up and saying, I get it from last Sunday's message. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, we got to have an invitation here. So how do you have an invitation after you preach on tithing? Here's how you do it. Everybody take your Bible while Brother Leo's getting ready to sing and go to Romans chapter 12 and look at one verse. And then we'll extend the invitation for somebody to join this church. I've already had several say they're going to join today. So that helps me. I've had others I've never met to say, preacher, I'm going to come and be a part of the Lord's house. Say, amen, you come. When we sing this first stanza, I want you to come. I want you to come. Amen. Romans 12. Let's all stand together. Romans 12 and verse 1. Look at this. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Present you what? Your body. Present yourself. It's the greatest story on giving I've ever heard in my life. That a preacher told us one time that they were in a little African village. And they asked people to give, and there they didn't pass the plates. They put them down here at the front. They scattered the offering plates all over the front, and they put them here, and people, they asked them to come by and give. And the preacher said he looked up after the service, and there was one little girl about 8 years old, and she was standing in the offering plate. And they asked her what she's doing. She said, I don't have anything to give but me. He said, it's the greatest offering I've ever seen in my life. That's what Romans 12:1 is all about. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. It is your reasonable service of worship. Now, for most of us Baptists, we'd have to make a much bigger offering plate to get in. Most of us been eating pretty good, hadn't we? Well, maybe we ought to get some big offering plates. I'll tell you, God's got one. And he's asking you to come and give yourself unto him.